finally looking in the mirror and seeing that me I love. I'm getting back to the girl I was.
Ag Talk, Your Story Matters, is America's platform for women in agriculture to share their thoughts, ideas, and stories. This is a safe space for everyone in agriculture, no matter what their role is, to come together and have real and raw conversations. We feature our Ag Women Connect members, guest speakers, and current topics across the nation that affect our agriculture industry. Our goal is to include others into our discussions, and we invite you to be a part of our conversation every week. Join us. Hi, y'all. I'm Vanessa Wood, founder of Ag Women Connect and host of Ag Talk, Your Story Matters. Today, I'm excited to be sitting down with Lauren Lovelace Murray. She is the director of the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo. Lauren Murray is originally from Grapevine, Texas, and is a graduate of Texas Tech University, where she earned her bachelor's and master's of animal science degree. She has worked at the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo since 2005 and currently serves as the horse show director. Huge job. As the horse show director at the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo, her responsibilities include implementation of the Ranching Heritage Weekend, which includes the ranch horse shows, three horse sales, and a ranch gathering party. She is also responsible for the planning and execution of 16 breed discipline horse shows and managing the equine scholarship program. She is the Texas director for the American Quarter Horse Association and is on the AQHA Marketing and Membership Committee. She also serves as secretary for the Citizen Support Group for the Fort Worth Police Mounted Patrol. That's really neat. She is an active member of the National Cowgirl Hall of Fame and the Fort Worth Farm and Ranch Club. Lauren resides in Fort Worth, Texas, and when not busy with FWSSR, she assists her husband, Patrick, with their cow, calf, and yearling operation. In her free time, she enjoys spending time with family, friends, on the lake, and at home with her yellow labs, House, and May, and Wes, and her American Quarter horses. Girl, that is quite a riot. Welcome, Lauren, and do you ever sleep?
Yeah. Well, you know, certain times of the year we sleep. Other times we don't. But, you know, it's all fun as it is. But thank y'all for having me today. I'm really excited to be here. I think I got a few of my family and friends supporting today too on by joining our call. And thank y'all for allowing them to be here too. I was going to tell y'all before we got started today, a funny story. So my stepson and I listen to podcasts in the car, but ours are usually true crime or crime junkie, and we listen to the stories about what's the case going on and all of that. So this weekend, I told him, I said, hey, guess what? And he goes, what? I go, I'm going to be on a podcast this week. And he was like, oh, that's cool. And then he sat there for a minute and looked at me and goes, you're going to be on a true crime podcast? So I was like, no, I'm not on a true crime podcast. He was like, oh, that makes more sense. So anyway, I thought it was pretty funny that he was in his mind, he's sitting there thinking that I'm like, I didn't break the law. Like, I'm not involved with it.
Well, same. There's another thing that we have in common when I get on the road, which is a lot. And my husband just thinks I'm the weirdest person because I listen to those true crimes. I'm like, yes, this is intriguing. But yes, I don't like listening to them like late at night when I'm on the road.
Yeah.
I put something a little bit more positive on.
So it's pretty, it was pretty funny when I'm like, no, I'm not on a true crime one. This it's ag and women. And he's like, that makes much more sense.
That's so cute.
So
something I read, Lauren, in your biography that I think is really neat. Because so you grew up in Grapevine, and that's not really an agriculture town, but but it's right next to the Fort Worth Stockyards too. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I grew up in Grayby. My parents were in education. And so my dad's from Farwell, Texas, and my mom's from El Campo, Texas. So they actually grew up in more of a rural community, but life led them to Grapevine for work. And that's where we ended up at. And so, you know, I don't know if you grow up with people that are from a rural community, that that part of that's in there with you, no matter where you're at. But when I was a child, I had this obsession with horses. I wanted to ride horses. And my parents aren't horse people, but they were trying to figure out a way to do something with me. And I ended up taking some riding lessons from a lady in Southlake, and she was a barrel racer. So of course I wanted to be a barrel racer. So I kind of followed in her footsteps, and she took me in, and I kind of rode with her everywhere. And she really probably started a lot of my love for agriculture as well, because I was learning so much through her. And so, you know, through high school, I barrel raced with her. The stock show used to be an invitational ranch girls barrel race. It wasn't a professional barrel race. And so you had to be invited and represent a local ranch. And so Doreen always did that. And so I ended up doing that too. And then whenever it was time for me to go to college, I knew I wanted to do something in animal science or agriculture related. And so Texas Tech was a natural fit for me. My dad and both my uncles played football at Tech. And so, and Doreen, my friend that taught me how to ride, she had gone to Tech and was on the rodeo team. So it was really a natural transition for me to want to go back out there too. So I went out there and I got my degree in animal science, not sure what I was going to do. And so I stayed and got my master's, because at that point in time, you know, it was a little bit easier to get a job. So we ended up staying out there, and I worked for a guy from the Cotton Economics Research Institute and worked for him through grad school and helped him put on events for local cotton farmers and helped him with some research projects and getting those published, and stayed there with him. And then whenever I graduated, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do, but you know, it always comes back, it seems like, to some sort of relationships or somebody who knows somebody. And I had a lot of fun at Tech. So I feel like I probably learned a lot more outside the classroom than probably inside the classroom. But either way, a fair combination of the two. A friend of my mom's knew somebody that worked the stock show that was looking for temporary workers. And so I ended up coming and working for them in 2005. And then I went to Rodeo Austin and worked for them that year too. And then right after I finished at Austin, the stock show here in Fort Worth called me and asked me if I would come join full time. And so this will be my 18th show, I guess. This is just my 18th show here. So it's been fun.
Yeah. You're just busy and all over the place. And I love seeing like all the pictures that you post. And oh, it's incredible what you do.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Well, tell us a little bit more about like what your role as the director entails.
So can I, is it cool if I start with a little bit about the stock show for anybody that maybe isn't familiar with it?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So the stock show this year was our 126th show. So we've been around since 1896. It just started as a bunch of cattle rangers wanting to show their cattle against other people's cattle down. And that was down in the stockyards area, north side area of Fort Worth. And they started just kind of informally doing that. They ended up really making it a hub of the livestock industry by that stockyards area growing and the Swift and Armor plants coming through and really building that side of it up. And then it was in 1908, they actually built that north side Coliseum that's called Cowtown Coliseum. Now a lot of y'all hear about it. It's the one that has the weekend rodeos and the stockyards all the time year round. And that was where we originally had our first livestock shows and horse shows. They ended up actually, you know, it was the world's original indoor rodeo. So we were the first indoor rodeo there as well. And then in 1940, I believe it's three, when the war broke out, that part of the Coliseum was taken over to build airplane parts for the war. And so the stock show wasn't able to be held that year. So they ended up moving out to Will Rogers for the 1944 show. That slowly over the years has developed, you know, and started with barns, adding equestrian centers, you know, just continuing to build up over the years, you know, and then the most recent addition is going to be Dickey's Arena. That is the new arena that the rodeo moved to in 2020. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, the history of everything. In the short version, if you want the full one, you can go to our website because it'll break it down for you in a lot more detail. Our main missions, I guess, is to provide educational scholarships and then also to maintain this Will Rogers Memorial Center facility. And what we do out here is if there's a project that needs to be done, we help improve it and then we give it back to the city to use for the community to use throughout the year. Because we're only actually, you know, a functioning tenant for 30 days out of the year. So we try to do improvements, give them back the city, then let them use them to however they can to bring more horse shows or livestock shows or concert facility, whatever it is out here to bring more community out here and let everybody have access to it. One thing I was going to tell you a little bit about is kind of, we just finished our 2023 show. So I was going to kind of give you a few, a little bit of information about it. You know, this year for our entries for our livestock teams, livestock shows, our open shows, junior shows, horse shows, all of our competitions, we had about 32,000 entries. 11,000 of those are going to be your 4-H and FFA, you know, junior show kids. We had 13 livestock auctions and we had 4 judging contests with, I think, 46 teams. And we had an agrobotics competition that had, I believe, 40 teams, a junior beef heifer challenge, and then a Texas made, which is our ag mechanics show too. And I think there was almost 50 teams in that. At the end of our show, we have a junior sale of champions, which is what all the kids sell their animals at the end. We ended up selling, I think, close to 300 animals, and it grossed about $7.5 million. You know, the students get to keep that money to invest in their futures too. Overall, for scholarships, we gave away 186 scholarships, and it was almost $950,000 this year. We also do the educational grants to Texas schools, and it was close to $500,000. For our horse show specifically, we have 16 breeds and disciplines that we do during the 23 days. We had 4 horse sales. We do an equine IQ contest, which we had 117 contestants. And then we had a public speaking challenge, which was 36 contestants in that. We do a Texas Tech Day. We do a Texas A&M Day, a TCU Day, a Military Day, Cook Children's Day, Stock Show Goes Pink. Try to hit all the different parts of the community and colleges and everything for a draw to get out here. For our office, we have about 23 full-time employees. There's almost 900 part-time employees that come in during the show to work. We have almost 60 volunteer committees and about 2,000 volunteers that come in throughout the show to help us do all the different things. And it takes every bit of it for it to come together. We want to keep it all rolling through our committee work as well. For our rodeo, which is, you know, now over at Dickey's Arena, we did 25 rodeo performances and we sold 93% of our tickets. So we feel pretty strong about attendance for that and getting people to come over here. And a lot of that's multiple people coming multiple times, which is great. We love that. You know, we have 18 pro rodeos and then 5 specialty performances, which are going to be like your ranch rodeos, Bulls Night Out, Cowboys of Color, and then we do a Texas Champions Challenge. We have about 224 vendors for commercial exhibit space. We have a school tour program. We brought, I think, 102 schools in this year. We have our FFA chapters that provide tour guide service for them. And so we had quite a bit of that going on. We also have an art contest, too. It's doing really well. And they're going to work with part of the Cowboys Artists of America this year to do, combine their sale with it. So I think that'll be a really cool dynamic to have it added together. And then we have some fun stuff too, like the Vine to Wine Committee. And, you know, we have sipping shops, we have wine camp, you know, bubbles and bites for local people to come taste brunch food with champagne. And then we also have a group sales program. So I was trying to just hit on as many of the big programs that we all have going on here. And that's along with Midway going on at the same time, you know, petting zoo, children's barnyard, all of that stuff. So our attendance was about a little over 1.2 million this year. And that's in that 23-day period. So there can be some big days on the weekends. We can get, you know, 160, 170,000 people out here at a time. So it gets a little packed on the weekends, but that's, I think people expect some of that with being at the Sock Show.
All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick break, but make sure to come back to catch the rest of Lauren's story here on Ag Talk, Your Story Matters. Before the break, Lauren was giving us her background and how she got to where she is today. Let's jump back in. Okay, we're back with Lauren Murray. She's going to talk a little bit more about the horse show side and the shows. One of my really good friends, Alyssa,
we laugh because like there's so many letters and all these organizations. And she's like, why can't people just say the whole name, you know? And I don't know. It's just funny, you know, trying to try to get them all down.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, so for the horse show department here, it's a team of me and Ashton Dunkel. And I think she might be on the call with us too. Ashton grew up out here at this, going to the stock show and competed in all the horse events, the calf scramble, and was a great scholarship winner for us. So she's been a huge asset to my team. And she and I partner on a lot of these things. And there's some things that she's the detail person and catches me up on. And then there's other things that I take care of. So we kind of tag team it through all of it. But the first weekend of our show, we have a weekend that's designated called Ranching Heritage Weekend. And so we have ranch rodeos that weekend. It's kind of related to anything in the ranching industry. We have versatility horse shows. We have Ranching Heritage Challenge horse shows. We do 3 horse sales that weekend that we manage here. There's a party that we have that we partner with Cattle Raisers Association on. We have our working cow horse classes. We try to kind of do anything that's more ranch related that weekend as we get started to kick off the show. The 2 nights of the ranch rodeo are our best sellers in the rodeo. They sell out before everything else does, which shows, you know, the popularity. And that was even before Yellowstone Effect, to be honest. It was happening for quite a while. That's been some of the most popular events. After we kind of get through that weekend, we work through the rest of our horse shows, which, you know, we do a Ponies of America show. We do a Palomino horse show. We do a quarter horse show. We do a paint horse show. A National Reining Horse Show, a National Rein Cow Horse Show, a NCHA cutting. Julia, I think, is on here somewhere. She's with NCHA. And then we have Timed Event Challenge roping, Timed Event Challenge, barrel racing and pole bending. You know, we do a cowboy mounted shooting. And then some of the newer things we've been doing in the last several years is we've been doing an Escaramuza and Charo Kala competition for that group. And it's been really cool to have the ladies side saddle and having them come in and see their teams compete against each other. And so that's been a really fun one that we've added in the last several years. And then last year we were able to add a youth division to that and award scholarship dollars, which was really fun to get to see the kids coming in and learning their way up through that. We also do an Equestrians with Disabilities show the first week of we actually do that before the show starts, but we do that 3 days before. And Texas Tech sends from the Therapeutic Riding Center up there, sends a group down. And it's really a cool thing to have. Our show has been, I think, the largest registered quarter horse equestrian disability show for the last several years. So it's a great event. And my friend Doreen that taught me to ride, she since I've moved on and all that, she has equestrians with disability part of her school now too. And so she brings a group up here too. So it's fun to see all of that stuff.
I hope that y'all never not have that. That's so
I know. Fun. I and love it.
Texas Tech does have one of the best facilities up here. And I used to be a manager. There was another facility in Leveland that did horse therapy for disability. And oh my goodness. I mean, it's such a rewarding job. And it's incredible to see. So
yes.
I'm going to come up there for that.
You'd need to. That'd be fun. And we also have an equine scholarship program that we run. And it's basically, we have a committee that goes out and recruits $500 increments towards our program. We end up awarding the scholarships in a variety of ways. Some of it is through, you know, there's how they place in their classes. And then some of it is, you know, on a speech contest or IQ contest has several dynamics to it of like, you know, animal parts identification. They have to give a small speech for it. They take a test, you know, that kind of stuff. So we try to give it away in different ways, but we like to really have an educational aspect to it in addition to just a performance base. So
we love that.
Yeah, that's something that's kind of important to us. And we really like the contest side of it too, because it gives kids an opportunity who may not have a horse or may not have the best horse at the best trainer a chance to have a way to come to our show and be involved in the horse show, but maybe have a shot that they might not have at a scholarship in a different form or fashion. So yeah, so we've done that. You know, the scholarship program is pretty cool. We enjoy doing that each year. That was pretty good. It was a pretty good year for all of that. And then our roles are, we take our entries. Ashton Show Secretaries, most of it for us here. We have a few outside ones that come in of different events. You know, I manage all the dirt work. I manage all the setup. We have a stall office set up during the show that people check in and that we manage. You know, we transition people in and out for different shows. Anything that doesn't, except for a bucking horse that's related to a horse, kind of comes through us. So we kind of leave the rodeo horses on the other side and out of our hair. So
that's awesome. So tell us a little bit about your specific role as the director. Like, what would a normal day look for you like right now? Because I know you're kind of in your off season.
Right.
And I'm sure you're planning for the season coming up, but then tell us like what your job looks like in January.
Okay. So like right now we're preparing for our annual board meeting. So we're definitely a lot slower paced, but we've been getting all that ready. And that's actually next week, doing lots of recapping, getting lots of numbers together. All those numbers I gave you earlier was pretty much pulled from that stuff for next week. You know, we're working on that stuff. We're also looking at our schedules pretty hard. And, you know, my horse show schedule has to correlate with the livestock show schedule. So we aren't on top of each other or on anything or any special events that are going on. Or if there's a, you know, a Bubbles and Bites party out here, I need to make sure that their parking is not going to affect my horse show that weekend's parking, you know. So there's lots of different moving parts that we have to get with all the different departments when we're changing schedules and looking at that. We also get with all of the breed associations that sanction our shows or approve our shows. And most of them we work really closely with. So we'll this time of the year, we're kind of saying, okay, here was what our schedule was last year. This is what our numbers look like. What classes do we need to add? What classes should we take away? Is there something new y'all want to put in that we can help you host? Is there something that this did not work? And there are some of those. We need to get rid of that. This is kind of a time for reflection because we'll start getting our show schedules and premium lists ready to go out in August. So really May and June, we kind of really May, we work on the final scheduling. In June, we're starting to implement it into all of our publications. And then it goes out pretty much in August. So that's a lot of what we're doing right now. Depending on what time our shows start each day, we're here, you know, 6 or 7 in the morning to get everything ready to start our shows. And we start at 8 or 9, usually in the morning, depending on what our day's going to look like number wise. And so Ashton helps get all of the show secretary stuff ready. And she's also helped us get on a new program this year. The fun, it's new to us, not new to the industry, but we've had our own custom program for a long time that we needed to kind of make a change with. And so we went to the Funware program, which is what the majority of horse shows use. And then we also got set up on tablets this year for our judges. So that's 2 big technology things. And we also took online entries this year, which we've never done before. So Ashton's been crucial in helping me get the technology side of it up to date and really functional. So it's been really good hard copies like we've done in the past. So obviously it worked because everybody was much happier doing that side of it and going online and paying with a credit card and all the conveniences that we're used to these days. But so anyway, I got off on a little tangent on that, but it's because I like it. But we get set up. We set up everything in the arenas. If I've got to get tractor drivers lined out, we make sure our staff is in the arenas, are prepared, have their paperwork, make sure our judges are prepared, make sure the patterns are ready, make sure everybody's got copies of everything. At the same time, there may be an exhibitor that is confused about their classes and thinks they're entered in something that they're not, or vice versa. And so we're kind of getting all of that straightened out before we start, because we do start on time. That is one thing around here. We don't start early. We don't start late. We start on time. And so we always try to make sure we have plenty of time. So once the show starts and we have all of our people in place, you know, we just kind of see what needs to happen. You know, if I need to help remind people that we need to drag after a certain time, if we're going to need equipment for the next class coming up, I'm making sure that's getting in place, you know. And then, you know, Ashton a lot of times is out there with me, but she also is in the office taking class changes for the next day or horse substitutions or anything, you know, paper-wise to make sure our books and entries are correct for the class the next day. So that's kind of what we're doing. Depending on the day, because every day is a little different, you know, we may show all day long in a, you know, Western Pleasure, you know, halter performance general type classes. But then we also have days where we rope all day long and then we take a break and then we have a finals performance that night that we'll come back and do a finals for. So, you know, and then when we have like our Escaramuza and Charos here, we start in the morning with them practicing and then we have a Escaramuza competition first round and that breaks and then our Charos will come and it'll make a break and then our Escaramuzas will come back in for a finals and then the Charos will come back in for a finals. And so just depending on what show we have, the structure, it's a little bit different. So, you know, that just kind of dictates our days is what exactly is going on. So,
yeah, kind of. But it sounds like you have a proactive system, though. You know, I've been a part of horse shows, and we all know it never really goes the way it's supposed to be.
Right. There's lots of variables that sometimes are out of our control, but we try to be prepared. We're always thinking like a day ahead, almost. Good. You know, what are we doing tomorrow? Because whatever needs to be done today, I should have been done already yesterday. Kind of mentality.
That's great. Okay, we're going to take a break here. Okay, Lauren, so tell us a little bit about your relationship with the American Quarter Horse Association. It's an association I've been with since I was a little girl, so I have massive respect. Tell us how you started that journey and what you do with them.
Okay. Well, so it's actually kind of interesting. The Stock Show and the Quarter Horse Association have a really long-standing relationship. When the Quarter Horse Association began, it was here at Fort Worth, and they saved registration number one for the Grand Champion Halter Stallion at the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo that year. So we've had a partnership with them since the beginning of their association. I always think it's really cool that was number one registration number was given out here. And then whenever the versatility classes started, the Stock Show did the first AQHA versatility class. We've also did the first Ranching Heritage Challenge. So we've been pretty involved with them with a lot of firsts, which has maintained our relationship with them. Now, personally, when I came to work here, I was working in the horse show and I was working for Bruce McCarty, who was our horse show manager here prior to me. Now, he was involved with the Quarter Horse Association as a prior employee for them, but also was on a committee for them too. And so we would talk about a bunch of different things, and they just so happened to be doing a program called Leadership AQHA at that point. And it was, oh gosh, it's probably like 2007. It's been a little while. But I went ahead and applied for that program and ended up getting accepted and participated in like a year-long program with the Quarter Horse Association, where we went to Amarillo a couple of times to go to the headquarters, learn about the association. I think that year we went to the World Show. And then I think I also went, I think it was a Youth World Cup show year. Mm-hmm. Then we went there. And so kind of had like a class that I graduated with for that year of being experience and learning about the association. So that was kind of how I got my personal foot in the door. But immediately after that, I joined the marketing and membership committee to serve on that committee for them. I've served on that committee since I did Leadership AQHA, and I really enjoy it. It's when they come and they give us all the ideas that they're going to have about marketing and what we can do to recruit new members and what all that's going to look like. And it's really interesting each year to get to be a part of it. I really enjoy it. And then in the last couple of years, I believe it was the year of COVID. They had some director openings for Texas. And so some of the people had asked me to run for it. And with everything that was going on with our show and the craziness in the world, we did not go that year. But then I just recently ran for Texas director in 2022 and was elected. So it was pretty exciting to get to do that. And so I at convention that year went through the whole process of the interviewing with all the Texas directors and then the AQHA directors and then were appointed. So now that I got, that's probably the toughest part of it is going through that whole interview process. But once we got through all that, just being available to AQHA for anything local that they might need at convention every year, we go through Texas issues that there might be. We talk, you know, we prepare ourselves for bringing in new candidates, you know, and just kind of staying track on what's going on in Texas that might need to be addressed by the National Association.
Well, that's pretty impressive. Way to just keep going and getting out of your comfort zone and just climb up there, girl. Like you're an inspiration to me. It's incredible just to listen to what you got your hands in.
Oh, thank you. We try to stay busy. Well, we do stay busy, but we try to keep you know, we try to keep changing and doing things and being better. Cause, you know, and I was thinking about this when we were talking about this, but the other day, you know, when someone in our office mentioned to, you know, we're 126 years old here, the Sock Show. And so there's two sides to it. One, it's really great that we're that old and we have the traditions and all that, but it's real easy to become stagnant because you've done and do the same thing every year over and over again, because it's been that way forever. And so that's one thing that, you know, we have to try really hard to not become stagnant, to, you know, what's the industry doing that we're not doing? What, you know, what can we change to bring in somebody to the horse show the second time this season, instead of just coming to their one show this year? You know, it's the beauty of the tradition, but also the threat of being stagnant that we have with that longevity. That's interesting to kind of play the game. And it's the same thing, I guess I would say for me personally too, is that, you know, I need to keep doing things as I get older too, to further my career, my experience, so that I don't get stagnant in what I'm doing and just do the same thing every year. So I think being a part of the Texas Directors has helped me with a little more different perspectives from people. I've really been enjoying being a part of Ag Women Connect, I will say that, because it's given me a lot of contacts that I kind of get stuck in my horse showy world, rodeo-y world, and I've enjoyed listening to some of the ladies that aren't in that world that I've gotten to listen to through Ag Women Connect too. So,
well, thank you. Yeah. One of my favorite things to say is, like, if you're not growing, you're disintegrating.
Yes.
So, I mean, you could literally apply that to everything.
Absolutely.
And there is massive respect. I mean, I think it's great that y'all are incorporating that technology. It's easier for folks to sign up and moving forward with that. You know, I feel like technology gets a bad rap, and yes, I mean, it could, you know, the pendulum swings both ways there, but I feel like it's something that can help the agriculture industry. So
yes, for sure.
You brought up some great points, and I can see, you know, what you were saying, like tradition, you pride yourself in tradition.
Literally.
But there's ways that we can improve things and move forward and make things better.
Yep, absolutely. That we always say that in the office, we can always be better. So what can we do to make this better? That's what we work towards around here a lot.
That's awesome. Well, I have shown in the Will Rogers Arena a couple of times and the John Justin, and it was just some of the best times of my life. And I always made sure that I picked up one of those cinnamon rolls too.
Yeah, you can't leave here without a Stoney cinnamon roll. I always make myself wait till the very last day of the show, because I'm like, I cannot eat 23 cinnamon rolls in a row. That would be really bad for a lot of things. So I always push myself to the very last day to get one.
Good idea. Okay, guys. And so we're going to open up this conversation. That's one thing that Ag Women Connect really strives and takes pride in. This is not the Vanessa Wood show. I want everybody to be a part of the conversation and be able to relate and ask Lauren some questions. So if you have a question for Lauren, this is the perfect time to speak up and do that now. Don't be shy.
I probably provide y'all with so much information. I overloaded everybody.
No, sometimes it takes a while for people to unmute their
absolutely
microphone. I think I'm unmuted. Yeah, I think I muted a couple of people when they were getting on. Well, I have a question. What could be some of your advice to a woman who is aspiring in the animal science direction, or even just in the horse industry? What would be some of your advice for them?
One thing that I think is important is just to allow yourself to be diverse. You know, if you think you're interested in the horse show world, you know, go to a cattle show and see what's going on there. You never know where the relationships or networks are going to take you. So if you have an opportunity to go meet somebody that may not be your age, or spend some time with somebody that's younger than you, older than you, that has a totally different interest than you, to take those opportunities when you can, because you never know where it's going to take you. One chance meeting can change your life. So I think being diverse and being open to the industry and different forms or fashion would really be important. You know, you may be passionate about horses, but there may be something that you end up doing in the cattle business that correlates.
Yeah, absolutely. I would have to definitely agree with you there. And I think too, like the merging of generations, I think it's so important for
the
women who do have experience like you, and even older women too, like the how important it is to like reach down and help the younger generations that are coming up understand. And then, but it could go both ways too. You know, the younger generations, we usually have some innovative ways of thinking, and they could teach us as well.
I mean, and there's no way I could have done all this online entries and the new software by myself without Ashton helping me. She did a great job with that, and she's going to keep doing a good job getting us moving forward.
That's awesome. I see that Ashton's on here. I think something that is hilarious about y'all is your Instagram and your Facebook. And I know that your husband's on here today. I love that he brings home equipment and you're like, well, what is in my driveway? So tell us a little bit about that.
So the what the my day heck is in my driveway series started one day for me just giving him a hard time. Really posted it to kind of make fun of him. But evidently everybody thinks it's pretty funny because I thought I was just doing it to poke at him. But now I evidently have some followers. So I came home one day and I think it was a koi pond that he'd picked up somewhere tub and it was in our driveway. And I'm like, what the heck is in our driveway? And so I took a picture of it, started posting it. And then I think the next time it was a cattle feeder. And then the next time it was like three tires and a random chair. And so I'd come home to all these surprises. And so I kind of started continuing it. So he's been a little slow lately. I will say that I told him the other day, if you want to be an influencer, you've got to start giving me some content. And he was like, but I don't want to be an influencer and I don't want to be a part of that. So it was pretty funny.
That's cute. Because there's some days where I drive home and I'm like, oh gosh, what are we doing now?
Yes. What is the project that's going on that I know nothing about?
Yes. So tell us a little bit of like how people can get connected with the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo. Tell us like what your website is and how they can sign up for events.
So the Fort Worth Stock Show website is just our initials, FWSSR.com. And you'll find the majority of your information there. If you're interested in volunteer opportunities, there's a whole section on that where you can look up and apply for a volunteer opportunity for our competitions. It's really about in the fall when we'll start taking entries for that in September. Rodeo ticket sales will go on sale in September. We have all the socials too. We have, you know, Facebook, Twitter, I think we have Pinterest too. I think we're on TikTok now. We have Instagram. We have all of those going at once. And Jordan in our office does a really good job with trying to keep that moving forward too. And so the website's going to be the best place to go to, but feel free to reach out to me too. If you need anything, I'm always available and we're happy to, it may not be my department, but we're happy to direct you to the right person that can help you with doing something to be involved in what fashion you're available to.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate all of your time today, Lauren. Yeah, it's been incredible just listening to your story and everything that y'all do in the Fort Worth Stockyards and the Wasatch Stockyards. That's where it began.
Show.
I have to train my thinking because, you know, it moves.
Yes.
But it's one of my favorite places to be. So
Everybody needs to come to the 24 show. So let me know when y'all can come down. We'd love to have you.
When is the next show?
It's in January of 24. It'll be January 12th through February 3rd, 2024.
Okay. That's when everything starts.
That's when we're kicking off.
Awesome. And will we see you at the Cowgirl Gathering in May?
Yes, I'll be there.
All right.
Yeah, I'll be there. I have to go to an Escaramuza and Charo competition on Saturday for part of the day too. So I'll be back and forth, but we'll be there.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. It's always a fun one.
I know. And it'll be here before we know it. I look forward to hanging out with you. And I know
Me
that
too.
We're quite a few women with us this year. So they're still signing up for the Cowgirl Gathering. And for those that are listening today, you could follow at Women Connect again on all of our social media platforms. And we have partnered with the Cowgirl Gathering. And if you are a member of Ag Women Connect, then you get a 10% discount off of those tickets. So we're just super excited to be a part of that and look forward to seeing Lauren there. Everybody, thank y'all so much for being on Ag Talk, Your Story Matters today. We will be back here next week with a new featured guest. Lauren, thank you so much. Does anybody else have any questions before we hop off?
I do have one. You seem like you're super busy with all of the stock show stuff. And I'm sure, you know, during those 30 days, there's like zero free time. But what do you do in your free time? You said that you did barrel racing and competed. So do you still do that? Or
I don't barrel race anymore. I grew up barrel racing. I have horses at home that we ride for fun, really. My husband, you know, uses some of them for the cattle operation. But besides that, we, you know, hanging out with my friends, my dogs, we love to go to the lake. That's one of our favorite things. I need to be better about reading and all of that stuff, but that's my podcast time now, it seems like. But it's really the free time we spend with friends and family and try to absorb as much of that as we can.
I saw that y'all were, is it JD Burgers down there?
Yeah, JD's. That's our friend's place. It's so good. They just got shut down recently from a storm. It ripped off the ceiling of their building. And so they've been closed. They just opened back up about a week ago, just outside only. So we had to go support them as soon as we could get over there.
That's awesome. Well, we'll have to go down there and eat there.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks, everybody, for being here today.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Ag Talk. Your story matters. Make sure to tune in every Tuesday for new episodes and learn more about us and our mission at agwomenconnect.com. You can find us on all major social media platforms, and we can't wait to share your ag story.